Hello, and welcome to Nintendo World Report Connectivity, episode 379. We are here to talk about Mario games, but not Super Mario Brothers Wonder, correct? Said we are going to get underway for our second episode of our 2D Mario Game Club. You can go back a couple episodes and listen to us talk about Super Mario Brothers 1 through 3. And today we are going to talk about Super Mario Land, Super Mario World, and Super Mario Land 2. Joining me to talk about this is the same crew as the last time we talked about these games. That would be John Raridan.
Howdy, everybody.
And Matt Sawadniak.
That's me.
Yeah, it's a me. All right. Is he not going to say it anymore? Because as a we are now, bombs dropped. Charles Martinet no longer voicing Mario, and it starts in Super Mario Brothers Wonder. It's just weird. And I guess there's like gameplay out there of non-Martinet Mario.
Well, I don't know. I'm not super convinced that it's not just like existing recordings of him, because to me, it sounds pretty much the same.
There were people like conspiracy theorying around the direct that like this and Wario were like, oh, it's not him. And I listened to the WarioWare trailer from the direct again, and I'm like, no, like, how can it not be him? Like, this is Wario.
It's such a caricaturized voice that, like, I don't know. I'm guessing you can find a voice actor that's pretty good at like, it feels like it would be harder if it was Martinet's natural speaking voice.
Yeah.
But like, Mario is just such a weird voice that I feel like a lot of voice actors can probably do a pretty good Mario.
Yeah. I mean, I've learned from Mickey Mouse that like it might feel like that, but you can definitely tell when an actor is
changed. And I'm sure once, in the 2D Mario games, you rarely hear him talk for an extended period of time. Like when we get the next like new Luigi's Mansion or something where there's like more extended Mario dialogue, then I'm sure I'll be able to tell. But as far as like a Wahoo, I'm guessing. They could reuse old recordings, but
the last WarioWares have had like Martinet saying poetry. Like it'll be interesting. And then Luigi's Mansion 2 next year is just going to use his audio from Luigi's Mansion 2.
Right. Yeah, I assume that'll be the same.
Makes sense.
But we are here to talk about Super Mario Land first. The Super Mario Land 1. And that came out in 1989. It was a launch title for the Game Boy. Oddly enough, I think it's worth pointing out, and I think, John, you had the person who I think wrote in or mentioned in the Discord about it.
It was Cool Uncle Vince in our Discord, which you should join to talk about this and other Nintendo stuff.
Yeah, that Super Mario Brothers 3 actually came out after Super Mario Land in North America. It's just that weird context to think about how if you played these games as they came out in America, you had Super Mario Brothers 1, then Super Mario Brothers 2 going in a complete different direction, then Super Mario Land next. So it's just that like all of these games are so disparate.
This is why there's discourse about which ones count.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and Land goes very much back to like OG Mario. So it's not even like a natural progression towards Mario 3.
Which kind of makes sense because like on new, less powerful hardware, it makes sense you'd want to be more conservative.
Emulate the original NES. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just kind of even getting that to work is probably a miracle.
Yeah.
So Super Mario Land 1 was definitely, it is a very early Game Boy game, very primitive visuals. You can tell, I think, that it's Mario. Like, I think it's funny that like the fire flower instead is the super ball, because they just have a ball bouncing around the screen, which is a rad power up, but definitely seems like things that were made with the limitations of the Game Boy in mind.
It feels like the super ball was meant to be the fire flower, and then for whatever reason just changed.
I don't know if it's, I remember reading somewhere, and I don't know how true this is, but I remember reading that was just we couldn't get the physics to work right. So it's a bouncy ball now, which I don't know if that's true or not, but.
And even stuff like Koopa shells exploding as opposed to them going around and bouncing
one
around.
One less physics object to track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a weird game, and it's kind of evident why it's a weird game, because it's not made by Shigeru Miyamoto's team. This was made by Gunpei Yokoi's R&D1 team, largely because they are the people making handheld games. And like, they designed the Game Boy, designed these early games. And Super Mario Land is a short and sweet platformer. There's 12 levels across four worlds that range from desert to China, in their theming.
Just normal China.
Yep, just China. There's Easter Island, like, sure, all right. Technically, it's a new world, Sarasa Land, that is drawn, or that is led by Tatanga, who, he's shown up a couple times in the background.
Isn't it the case that Tatanga took over Sarasa? Wasn't it Daisy's? And then he, like, invaded? Because he's an alien.
Yep.
There's like an underlying science fiction theme throughout this entire thing.
But yeah, he is an alien who takes over Princess Daisy's Sarasa Land, which I guess that's their explanation for why it's a weird new place. There's only 12 levels, and I think, what is it? Is it two or three of them are like side-scrolling shooters?
Yeah, there's a couple of those.
Yeah, which are kind of weird, but kind of fun.
They play well.
I'm not a huge fan of those, especially because it's just like button mashing forever.
Yeah.
They're simple, but I feel like they're about as simple as the rest of the game. I don't feel like they're too out of place. I'll take them over the castle puzzles from Mario 1.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with that.
That's true.
It's a cute, charming game. It's just that, you know, you'll finish it in 40 minutes and then be done with it, because there's not a lot to go back to.
Well, it's kind of interesting that it had to be that way, because it doesn't have a save system, and it was released for the Game Boy, which there is a hard time limit to how long you can possibly be playing this game.
Yep.
So it the game was kind of designed around that fact.
But it's nice, because it's super, like, this time playing it, I literally played it while making dinner. Like, I played through the entire game while making dinner.
It's just a game that, like, it feels very solid. It's extremely impressive that this game exists in its form and it works as it does, because they're on hardware of this scale, like, it was probably unimaginable at the time. And I think that even, like, comparing it to other Mario games, it kind of has more of a rhythm that requires patience to it, which I think is kind of cool, where... I have found that it's a lot easier to die in this game if you're just running everywhere. But once you slow down and take things more methodically, it feels like the game is kind of going at the correct speed then. And it feels like Mario's physics are, like, exactly tuned to be going at that speed. And I like that. It gives a very different experience from the rest of the Mario's franchise, which is just usually just speeding through as fast as you can.
Yeah, just go, go, go. Get some power-ups, collect some coins, like, just get to the end, beat the boss.
Mm-hmm. And it does this without any scrolling levels.
Yep.
Besides, obviously, like, the spaceship side-scrolling ones, but that's different.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a cute game. And also, I feel dumb. The one game where Tatanga does appear is Super Mario Land 2. Although it's technically, Tatanga is just called Alien in that game, but it is very clearly Tatanga when you go to the space area.
There's just a few
references here and there, like, you know, Smash Brothers stuff and things like that.
I wonder if he was planned to be in Odyssey back when Sarasa Land was supposed to be part of that.
Maybe. I mean, maybe the next 3D Mario game will have him come back.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It is kind of weird how, like, aside from Daisy, who nowadays looks nothing like she does in Super Mario Land, nothing from this game ever came back. And even in Smash Brothers, like, the only song in this game from Smash Brothers is the cave theme, which is the worst song in the game.
We still have China, so, like, that made it.
Yeah. Easter Island still does exist.
Yeah.
But they appeared in the Mario franchise?
So the Super Ball did show up in Mario Maker 2. That is, I think, worth pointing out. Yeah.
That is true.
I didn't remember that at all.
Yeah, believe it was, did it come out? I think it was an update, maybe? Or was that an unlockable?
It was an unlockable.
I just needed to double check, because I was like, I could have sworn. Yeah. When you beat the campaign, you unlock the Super Ball. It's pretty neat.
That's neat. Would have been cool if there was, like, a Mario Land level theme or something in that game. to fill out all of those obvious extra spots for level themes they didn't.
That was the dream. And then we ruined it by reporting on the lack of Friends Online multiplayer.
It's all our fault.
It kind of is.
Kind of. Yep. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's Nintendo. Rare. It's rare that we can like say something's our fault and be likely correct.
I mean, make your multiplayer not shit and you won't have that problem.
Yep.
Mario Wonder is going to be
totally fine, by the way. I'm sure that weird ghosty multiplayer thing is going to run really smooth and it'll be great. And I hope to God that contrary to what they said in the Direct, those are not actual live players and that is ghost data.
I very much foresee myself turning off online play. I'm gonna play this shit in airplane mode.
I don't think the Dark Souls multiplayer approach makes any sense for a Mario game.
I think it's an interesting idea, but I don't think that Nintendo can do it. Nintendo can pull it off.
Like it feels like in this kind of game, it's spoilers and clutter too.
Yeah,
it's so much because like. It's not like in Dark Souls you see constant echo images of every other player. Like, that's just too much going on. I just think it looks bad.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to see how it plays.
So before we move on to our next game, it's usually when we do these game clubs and I feel like, I don't know, the order of how we're going to do it for this one, I feel like kind of works better. But when did you guys first play Super Mario Land? Because for me, I don't think I actually played through it all the way until the 3DS Virtual Console. I recall like playing it in a store demo or something.
I never finished it until 3DS Virtual Console.
Yeah, I never sat down to play through it until 3DS Virtual Console.
I hadn't played it at all until 3DS. I didn't have an original. I got a Game Boy Color, but I never had an original Game Boy. So I didn't really play OG Game Boy games until later in life. So I played it and beat it for the first time on 3DS Virtual Console.
Yeah, as we will talk about shortly, I got my Game Boy with Super Mario Land 2, so I just like never went back.
Yeah, it's interesting that all three games today, like that we're talking about today, I did play them all as a kid to varying levels of success. And in this game, it was a miracle if I got to World 2. So, I think it was on 3DS Virtual Console when I finished the game for the first time. And like it kind of came as a surprise when I finished it. Like I didn't realize how short it was.
I feel like that was one that like shadow dropped when it launched when I was at the E3. And I think I like was like, oh, I'll play this on the plane. And like I barely got out of we barely took off and I was like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
I was like, I still have, multiple hours going from L.A. back to Jersey. Crap.
Especially when you can use save states for it.
Yeah. Yep. So before we move on, as we were joking about before recording about the Tetris movie that came out on Apple TV and how, some of the stuff's exaggerated. But the core of that story of Hank Rogers convincing Nintendo to bundle the Game Boy with Tetris. Likely is why it helped Game Boy take off. In a world where that doesn't happen, do you think that the Game Boy would have been I feel like it's safe to say the Game Boy would not have been as successful, especially early on, without Tetris. Do you think the Game Boy would have been successful with this game as the pack-in,
like in general at all? Probably. I don't see that as being the reason that like the Game Boy didn't flop or anything. It definitely never would have gotten, it never would have been as wildly, unbelievably successful as it was without Tetris. But I think it still would have been considered a successful product one way or the other.
Yeah, I think Mario was big enough even at that point that, assuming it was bundled with Mario Land, that it would be a decent sell.
The Game Boy is also just so clearly, like, at its time, the best portable console, best portable game system ever made.
I actually disagree with that, but...
Really?
I think the simplicity of it, I think, does help it out.
Yeah, compared to the stuff that everybody else was doing at the time, like, the Game Boy is technologic. It has a great library, and it was affordable, but like technologically, like other people were already doing color stuff and things with backlights. And
well, but that's the thing. I'm not necessarily talking about like what has the best tech of its time. I'm talking about like what is the best product. And I guess I'm thinking
of product in isolation. Like, yes, if we're talking about like legacy, like ultimate, like its entire library, then yeah, Game Boy for sure. I guess I'm talking more about, yeah, if we're talking about like the product itself.
And it also helps that it's like the only thing that didn't require like 30 batteries.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. I did have a Game Gear in my household as a kid, and I would usually play that with an AC adapter plugged into a wall.
Yeah.
Because that battery economy, holy Lord. I think if Mario Land was, you know, if Tetris was not there, Mario Land was a pack-in. I think Game Boy still wins. I think Game Gear has a much clearer path to contending. Because that's the thing, like, Columns did not rival Tetris. I think some of those Game Gear Sonic games, even if they're not that good either, but I would also contend that Super Mario Land, I'm not here to be like Super Mario Land terrible, but like it's very simple.
And honestly, Sonic is better than you'd expect, I think.
Yeah. But like I think that,
boy,
I don't think Game Gear would win, but I think Sega has a much clearer path to potentially winning against the Game Boy. If you could stack up like, look at this shitty looking Mario game. Look, Sonic's got full color backlight. Let's go.
Yeah. I do you think Columns exists without Tetris on Game Boy, or just
I don't even know what Columns is.
It's Sega's Tetris.
I don't think I've ever heard of this.
It's on like all of their 90s consoles.
It might be on NSO right now.
Yeah,
sure, I'll check. I've got it. I'm playing Mario 3 right now, so I'll check.
I played Columns because it came with Sega Smash Pack on the Dreamcast.
Yep,
that would have been my first.
I think I had it in a 6-in-1 cart on Genesis. But I have come across it many times in my life.
See, I've never bought any Genesis collections that weren't specifically Sonic collections.
All right, let's move on to the big one this episode. That would be Super Mario World, or as it's known in Japan, Super Mario World, Super Mario Brothers 4.
They have a number on it there.
That is apparently true. Wikipedia would never lie, right?
No.
So that came out in Japan in 1990. It came out in North America in 1991. I adore Super Mario World. I think it is an incredible video game. I have memories of playing it in the early 90s. I think Yoshi's really cool. I think the secret exit's really cool. However, I will say, as we did talk about this last time, I think there definitely a couple years ago, I would have been like, slam dunk Super Mario World. This is the bet. This is better than Super Mario Brothers 3. Boy, is it very close after replaying a chunk of Super Mario World and replaying Super Mario Brothers 3. I think there's something to be said about Super Mario Brothers 3's quick levels.
That it is kind of fun. Extremely close.
It is very fun to romp around in Super Mario Brothers 3, whereas World, especially with the secret exits, which I love. It's just like it's a little bit more of a thoughtful platformer, where Super Mario Brothers 3 is a lot more arcadey, which just kind of makes sense in the goals of what both games were doing on their respective consoles.
Yeah, I think you can see a through line from Mario 3 to World to Yoshi's Island, like as far as that more like not puzzle like you said, thoughtful platformer. I think there's a clear evolution there.
Yeah, because you see it a little bit with like some of the warp whistles and stuff in Mario 3, and then World just expands that so much, and like some of those exits are just so like goofy and fun and weird.
Yeah,
World I feel like is a bit of a more indulgent game because a lot of it is leveraging on the new hardware, and it extremely succeeds at a lot of things for certain. But there are also parts of World where I'm like, this part's kind of boring. I wish I could just skip this, that I never felt in 3. And that's why I think 3 ends up the winner for me, but it is extremely close.
Yeah.
I kind of went into this playthrough of World thinking I would be, like you said, like almost like, oh, this part's boring. Like, I still have a good time romping through it. I do think when you're starting to go for all 96 exits, then it becomes a lot more like mechanical and like how I got to do this. But I was like ready to be like knocking the world variety throughout Super Mario World. But I feel like they do a much better job of the level variety in each world, like going to the ghost houses, having the occasional like, this is clearly a water level, as opposed to Super Mario Brothers 3, where I don't like that water world at all. Although there's the novelty of the giant land that I wish World did with Mode 7. That would have been fun as hell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they would have only been able to get one enemy on screen at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. World, when I was a kid, it was my favorite Game Boy Advance game. People get really mad when I say that, usually.
I did play the Game Boy Advance one for this.
Yeah, that's what I did, too. It's fine.
It's pretty, like, it's unlike Mario 2, like, World on Game Boy Advance is a pretty straight port of, like, the All-Stars version of World.
This doesn't matter now that we have emulators, but World, for me, the fact that the spin jump is on the shoulder buttons instead of on the face buttons, I consider the version with the spin jump on the face buttons to be unplayable.
What's weird is that I agree with you that it's objectively better on the trigger. But I also,
it's weird,
get it wrong every single time just because I'm growing up with a Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I never played the Game Boy Advance version until Wii U Virtual Console. And that's where it's just like, oh, it's this weird novelty. But you know, honestly, playing through it on Switch Online, like it's a pretty solid version. I didn't
it also
realize...
lets you fast travel between different different levels, which makes a big difference for the top secret area.
It really does. I didn't realize, and I don't know, this is just like I was just glancing at something to be like, what were the differences between GBA and SNES? Toned down difficulty in the Game Boy Advance version, is it?
I don't think so. Like, I think it's most, there are some minor level design changes to make up for the screen being shorter, but I think it's the same otherwise.
Yeah, like enemy layout, like I feel like I have the enemy layouts pretty deeply ingrained in my soul, and it all felt right.
Mm-hmm.
I did notice there were some times where like you said, the vertical pixel count of or aspect ratio for Game Boy Advance is shorter. It's not a 4x3, I don't know what it actually is. And so, yeah, there'd be some levels where like Mario's like just barely kind of staying on the screen, and then on certain times they have to actually move the camera up. But there are some levels where they're just like, we can get away with not moving the camera, and Mario's just kind of losing his hat off the top of the screen.
Yeah, one thing they did add was, I think this is new, it's the different Yoshi powers based on the color of shell.
That was
in the Super Nintendo version.
Was it? Yeah. Was there some way about how it works that's different? Because whenever I play the Super Nintendo version, it never works how I expect it to, but I don't actually know what's different.
I'm looking this up right now.
I think that's how it worked.
I feel like we talked about this in the last game club, but after playing Super Mario World, having it top of mind, cape versus raccoon suit.
Oh, where raccoon suit, easy.
Man,
they feel kind of the same to me. I think the cape looks better. In terms of like actual play, though, I don't know. They're kind of equal.
I think I'd give the edge to the raccoon suit, but I do think that some of the cape is like more finicky to master, because of how you can do that, like that roll back to, you know, have the cape expanded like a parachute. And I do really like that, but there's something about its simplicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also I just found what's different about the Yoshis in Advance 2.
Oh, okay.
It's in Advance 2, you can unlock different colored Yoshis that come out of the eggs based on what power up you have. That no matter what color shell you put in, always have a particular power.
Oh,
I like,
okay.
I think I like that move.
Yeah. So like if you have a cape and you get you get the Yoshi, then it'll be a blue Yoshi that no matter what color shell you have it eat, it has wings.
Neat.
So yeah, I feel like we should have more to say about Super Mario World, but it's just that like it's a really freaking good platformer. I don't know if they've topped this in Mario Brothers 3. Later on,
Super
Mario Brothers U is very good, but
the fact that the new Super Mario Brothers series is trying so hard to emulate Mario World and 3 without really pushing the formula forward at all really hamstrings them. Wonder has the best chance of matching it simply because it's not trying to directly emulate it, so it doesn't need to be as one-to-one compared to it.
Yep.
One of the new Super Mario Bros. Games, I feel, you know, like the classic joke of failing multiple times in a video game, and then when you finally do it, you say first time.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I feel about New Super Mario Bros. U. Is they took like a lot of runs at doing Mario World again, and then like by the last one, they were kind of like, "That's pretty close." Like you don't really get credit for like you took a lot of runs at this, and I would say consistently came up short. And then your last one was like pretty close.
New Super U does get really close, but like it's so watered down by the fact that like by now you've played four of these.
Yeah,
it's a watered down version of Mario in general, and like just of the new Super. Like it's so derivative of itself at that point.
Yep, I feel like you look at New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, and it's like totality with New Super Luigi U. And I feel like that is an extremely good package. But yeah, there is something about that core game of New Super Mario Bros. U where you're like, you guys did a very good job of trying to get here, but you did not get to the mountain.
Yeah, I think if I was playing New Super Mario Bros. U, having not played any of the other New Super Mario Bros. Games, I think I would be super impressed by it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I agree with that. New Super U is a better game if you just ignore the three New Supes leading up to
it. Right. Yeah, it makes it feel like a more substantial thing.
I look forward to either being like past Neil's an idiot or me standing there holding a torch for New Super Mario Bros. 2.
Yeah, well, that's gonna I'm not saying like any of the New Super games are bad. I don't think any of them are bad. But
I think we might secretly be the worst one.
Yeah,
I suspect that's true. But that's also the one I haven't played for the longest. I did go ahead and start New Super Mario Bros.
I did the same with my library copy, and it's funny. There were no finished save files on it. I was sad.
I can also confirm that playing that in HD, even the DS one looks pretty close to the later games. Not as good, because you're using a different model for Mario and everything, and obviously all the 2D art is lower resolution still, but it holds up pretty well in HD.
Mm.
I guess like kind of a final thing with Super Mario World is I love how that game begins. I think like the first like world or so in that game is just like a really it's like the Nintendo concept of like the here's the game design of Super Mario Brothers 1-1, but on a bigger scale because of the fact that like you start off, you know, you can go left or right. One level is kind of more vanilla, what you would expect for 2D Mario. The other one's like, here's the new shit. Here's Yoshi. And just as you go through that area, it kind of just tells you all about these tools that you're going to need. As far as like, oh, what's this thing off to the screen? I need to find a different exit to be able to, you know, get to different parts, getting the switches. Just like that first world is such a perfect way to introduce people to these new concepts that you're doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. When it introduces the concept of like exploring the map, in that it's very it's totally possible to finish the first world without ever going to get the yellow switch.
Yeah. So
it introduces this idea of like this doesn't need to be totally linear. You sometimes are going to have choices in which direction to go, which Mario 3 does a tiny bit. There are some branches where you can like avoid toad houses, but nothing at this scale.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, like the branching paths don't really matter in 3.
Right. Yeah, you can occasionally skip a level, but it's not a big deal.
But a pretty all right video game.
Yeah,
it's good. I like it.
It's I forget if it's on my top 25, which I'm going to need to throw Sea of Stars on at some point. I'll have to update that. It's gotten a lot of updates this year. Good year for video games.
While I'm thinking of this, because I don't think I'll ever have the chance to talk about this video with you guys again. Have you ever seen the video of the pianist Tom Breyer playing the Athletic theme from Mario World?
No,
I don't think so.
So Tom Breyer, he is he's a ragtime pianist who quite good at what he does. And one of his family members, I don't know their exact relation, but it's like, you know, your nephew that's a gamer. He hands him the sheet music for the Athletic theme, and he starts playing it at what he believes is the correct speed, which is like half speed. And his nephew's like, oh yeah, usually it's like double the speed. And so immediately he turns around and just does it perfectly at double speed.
That's
awesome.
I'll
put that in our chat. But this is one of like the iconic videos of the internet for me, because this man is incredible.
Yeah, it does have I was actually thinking about this while, because I was just playing a little bit extra of it before we recorded today. And this, like the general world athletic theme of this one is maybe my favorite follow-up to the Mario theme.
Yeah, the music in Mario World is definitely incredible, and this Athletic theme, I feel like, is, for me personally, probably my favorite song in the Mario franchise.
Oh, this is cool. Yeah, you know, watching videos on a podcast, perfect stuff, but, and I think, I think I've seen this before. It just was a very long time ago.
It does, it highlights something in the music of this game that is something that I believe Koji Kondo is like credited with being one of kind of the originators for, of like on the NES, like obviously none of those sounds generally sounded like any particular instrument. And one of the things that Koji Kondo doesn't always get credit for was actually going in and like saying, okay, I'm not just using this square lead as a square lead. I want it to be this specific instrument. And it's why a lot of his stuff from that era, you can like orchestrate so well into a very obvious style.
Yeah,
is because like he orchestrated it. He didn't just make a tune. And I think in Mario World, once he has, you know, he can actually like sample things, then you really start to hear like, okay, like, yeah, he's not just doing video game beat boop. Like he has an orchestral, or not an orchestral, but he has an orchestration in mind for what instruments are actually playing this, and you can hear it.
Super Mario
which
World
at that
is
point
just,
was still kind of a new thing.
Yeah, Super Mario World is just an incredible soundtrack, and
yeah,
it is. I guess maybe potentially my final note on it is, I love when you hop on Yoshi and they add the drum beat to it, like stuff like the way that it builds off of that just makes it feel even more alive.
When that
was this,
you know,
the
that,
first example of dynamic video game
that's
music.
That's what I was just thinking about.
It might be.
I think it is. I can't think of anything else where, because it doesn't
like
change the song. It just
there's
it,
something
it changes
on the,
ZX the arrangement
spectrum
of it
that does it or something like
I'm
that.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
that might be, because obviously that's something we still do today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like dynamic music in video games, I think, is my favorite thing for video games to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so, easy recent example. Tears
Zelda.
Of the Kingdom for all the dungeons as you make progress through dungeon objectives, it adds new layers into the music and changes the music.
I remember when I was downloading music for like my Pikmin 2 review, like the single loop of like one of the world map themes, or not the world map, like one of the level themes, it was like 15 minutes long, because there were six versions of it that
you
go through based
on
what was going on.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I love that.
Yep.
Yeah. Good job, Koji Kondo.
He's brilliant. Are we good on Super Mario World?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Then let's move on to our last game for this Game Club episode, which is Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. It was also made by Nintendo R&D1, Gunpei Koi's team on the Game Boy, so Miyamoto not involved. It came out in 1982 in most every single region. And it was the debut of Wario. For me personally, as I said earlier, this was the game that I got with my Game Boy, and I played the snot out of this game as a kid. And it led to some kind of confused things, because I think this might have been the first Mario game that was like solely my own, because, you know, I think at this point, I my cousin had an NES. I don't think there was a specific Nintendo console in my house in 1992, because I think I got it around when it came out. So I just have a lot of like weird preconceived notions of like the way Mario's got the feather in his hat when he has the fire flower. Like that's a thing that I was like, how come he doesn't do that? And when you are invincible, you don't do the like the curl up into a ball like you do. And I think Super Mario Brothers 3 does it. But that was something that, like, when I played more of that and like had my own copy of Super Mario 3, I was just very confused, because it just did not match with what Mario was in my head. Because it probably, I mean, this might have been the game, the Mario game that I most played in the early 90s, until I, you know, got my own NES and was able to, like, you know, play more at my own house at my leisure.
This would have definitely been one of the ones I played the most at first too, because like I mentioned last time that like there was already an NES in my house when I was born that had Mario 1 and 2 on it, and then I didn't play 3 until much later in life. And then so Land 1 and 2 would have been where I played the most Mario until the Game Boy Advance came out and gave me Super Mario World. So
yeah,
this is kind of where I got my start, I guess.
Yeah, this was another one like Land where I had never touched it until 3DS Virtual Console, and I played it just right after playing through Land on Virtual Console. I will say to Neil's thing about the feather, for both this and Mario Land 1 for this game club, I played the Mario Land and Mario Land 2 Deluxe ROM hacks, which essentially just translate them into Game Boy Color games and adjust some of the sprite work, especially in the first Land, to make it a little bit less ugly. Don't change the physics or anything at all, just a visual update, which are very good, but it threw me off because in Land 2, they changed Mario's Fire Flower sprite to be his red overalls instead of having the feather in his hat, which lined it up. Like, for me, I was like, okay, that's back to normal. But I assume that would send Neil into just an uncontrollable rage.
I'd just be very confused. And I mean, at this point, like, outside of playing Land 2 for this and then playing Land 2 when it came out on 3DS Virtual Console, I want to say, like, since the 90s, I haven't really played this game that much. Like, yeah. I do have an affinity for it, and it's fun to play through it because I played it a lot as a kid. At the end of the day, I you know, it's not near the top of my 2D Mario list for you know, rose-colored glasses, definitely, but, like, it's totally fine. It's a step up from Mario Land 1, but not by much. It expands it all. Like, I do love the weird worlds, the bunny power-up. I enjoyed messing around with that. It's kind of, I mean, it does not stack up to, you know, Raccoon or Cape.
It's pretty much just the Tanuki suit, but without the ability to fly.
Yeah, you just float around.
Yeah, I definitely kind of avoided that because I just kind of like the Fire Flower better.
Yeah, Fire Flower feels like it's got more pop in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was my experience in Mario World, too, is I always favor the Fire Flower.
I think this game kind of is and isn't a step up from Land 1, because in technical terms, like, obviously, yes, it's a huge step up. Like, you just look at it and see that it's such a better looking game. The sound is better. Just like so much of it is obviously a higher quality of technical achievement, except for when there's like more than four things on screen, and then it turns it into struggles. Single digit frame rates.
Yeah.
It just craters.
Yeah. But for the way it plays, I kind of think I prefer Land 1 a little better, because Land 1, I think the levels feel a bit more like fluid and natural, whereas there's a lot more start and stop in Land 2, and I feel like just generally it was a little harder to get into a flow in Land 2. than it was in Land 1.
It's a lot more, it's a slower paced game. Like, yeah, crazy.
There are times where the levels are almost like labyrinthian, especially. Yeah, like,
and it's also it's a big sprite Game Boy game. You can't move too fast.
Oh yeah. Yep. I don't know if I like any of those. So
yeah, I think that was something that might have been before you showed up for the call, Neil. I don't remember, but I was telling Matt that I do prefer the sprite size in Mario Land 1 over 2. Just because you can't see anything in 2.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, that is definitely like why it is. I know, like, the bubble level, I think, is like one that I would always just be like, okay, how was I supposed to know that was their game?
Yep. But it's kind of in that Link's Awakening thing of like you look at Mario Land 1, and that's very clearly doing an NES style game on the Game Boy, which makes sense. And Mario Land 2 feels like an attempt to do like, no, we're going to do a Super Nintendo level game on the Game Boy.
And there are some ways it's very clearly. Well. It's very clearly pulling from Mario World directly, too, like, the spin jumps in it.
Yeah, which I always forget until the game demands that I use it.
Yeah.
I forget that it's in there, and then I can't remember how to actually get it to happen, and yeah.
I kind of discovered it by accident just today.
Yeah. It helps if you're playing on, like, a not-that-great D-pad. That's an easy way to find it on accident.
Do it accidentally.
I do like how non-linear this game is.
Yeah, you can, like, basically
just,
like,
just do levels whatever order you want for the most part.
I don't know. I kind of think that weakens it a little bit because there can't really be a difficulty curve.
Yeah, I do find that each of the worlds kind of presents a different challenge, though. Like, I don't find that, like, one world is like, I'm gonna do this, but more difficult. It kind of feels like each world has, like, a thing.
Stages in it kind of build off of. It's not as pronounced as I would prefer.
I mean, like, the easy one is space with the floaty jumps. Like, that's a very obvious one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never unlocked space because I couldn't find it and
you gotta go to the hippo.
I did. I finished the hippo. It never happened.
What?
What?
I finished the hippo level and then I was just back on the world map.
What?
You're breaking my brain. I'm now, like, trying to play the hippo level in my mind.
Is there, like, a secret exit I'm supposed to do in the hippo level?
No. I don't think so.
No, I don't think
Maybe
so.
Maybe my game just bugged on NSO.
Oh, wait. You have to reach the upper exit using Bunny Mario. So,
oh, that would do it. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, there is, like, you can not get the space level.
Yes. If you complete the stage using the lower stage exit, you go back to the overworld map.
Oh,
I hate that.
I didn't know.
I love that now. I love it so much.
I gotta be honest, Matt.
You forsook the bunny.
I believe that this is a textbook instance of a skill issue.
There was a way meaner joke that you could have gone with about looking up.
that's so true.
But yeah.
This game's fine.
I'm trying to, like, now, like, go back into my mind of, like, was that something that frustrated me as a kid? And I think I explored a lot using the Bunny Mario. Because of the way this game was, is that it was like, oh, explore around. Look for all the extra lives that as a child I needed. As an adult, I really don't.
Well, and there are some, like, hidden stages and stuff around the world map that are fun to find.
The problem for me is that, like, I finished the hippo stage and I don't even realize that I've missed anything because there are stages that they're just bonus stages that don't go anywhere.
Right.
I want to say, and this is going off of, like, it is just kind of like instinct that I go up to the top. I think if you do the bottom exit, I think there is some kind of hint above you.
I mean, you can visibly see it, but
yeah,
like, every level has a top and bottom exit. So I never saw any reason to think that, like, by missing the top exit, I had missed substantial content.
I wonder if that's signposted anywhere in the game, because as I'm just trying to, like, go back to, like, 5 year old Neil playing this game. I don't recall being that frustrated by this.
You can see the moon on the overworld, and I did know that there was a moon stage. It's just, I got 5 coins. I did 5 of the worlds, got 5 golden coins, and then, like, when I couldn't find the space level, it's just like, I don't know if I care enough.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I mean, to be fair, it's not like Hippo just screams space level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing in there to make me like, this is obviously my gateway to the stars. I do like how there's just, like, Michael Myers Goombas.
Yeah.
In the Halloween level.
Yeah.
They need to bring those back.
Zone. Yep. Yeah.
The theming in this game is pretty good.
Yeah, and, yeah. I like the Three Little Pigs boss in the Mario Zone is one that I've always liked doing.
We might as well address the elephant in the room of Mario's balls.
Yeah. Yes.
Listen.
Yep.
It was a different time.
He's got three of them. And then, I mean, Matt wouldn't know this, but Tatanga is the boss of the Space Zone.
Maybe the Space Zone is intended to be, like, the last one you do. And that's why it's, like, a little gated. And that's why, like, the boss is, like, the revenge boss from the first game.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's a totally fine game. The Wario, I like that Wario castle. Or, I guess, Mario's castle. It's weird that, like, Mario's just got this, like, sovereign Mario Land nation.
He's probably earned it by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's we don't see it. He doesn't have a Mario Dojo Casa house or whatever. but yeah, and like the
Mojo
Mario
Dojo
boss fight,
Casa house, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like Wario's boss fight in the game. I played that a lot as a child, and I like that castle a lot. It's a fun finale for a fun game.
I forgot how terrifying, like, non-Super Wario looks in this game. Like, when he turns back into his little goblin self, like, Jesus, like, it's a jump scare. It's horrifying. Yeah. Why doesn't baby Wario look like that?
Horrifying
gremlin man.
I think that might be all we have to say about this game. We are not going to cover Super Mario Land 3, which is Wario Land, because I think that is just the start of a whole new era.
Right.
Do you guys have any thoughts about like that translation from Super Mario Land 2 going full into Wario Land games?
I did. We played Mario Land 3 for Smashterpieces for Wario. I did not like it at the time, but that was also like 2019, Matt, so that's not canon anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, if it makes 2019 Matt feel any better, I've come to the realization that I do not like any of the Wario Land games.
I get it. I like 4 a lot.
Is 4 the Game Boy Advance one?
Yes.
Okay.
One I don't like. And I think 3 is the one that I liked playing on 3DS Virtual Console.
I believe people tend to like 3, so that makes sense.
I played them on 3DS Virtual Console after it was kind of like the fits and starts of Super Mario Land 1. I do not like Super Mario Land 3, and I don't think I like Wario Land 2. But Wario Land 3 I remember being pretty cool, and then Wario Land 4 I like, and Shake It's real good.
Which one did they just add? Which one's on NSO? For Game Boy, is that Mario Land 3 or is that Wario Land 3?
Cool.
I don't remember, but whatever one that was, I really tried to play through that again and just hated it every second of it.
Let's see what games are here. Wario Land 3. I should play that to see if that's the one that I liked. It's either that or 2, but anyway, we're not going to talk any more about those, because we're just talking about what we think are mainline Mario games, and also what Nintendo seems to think are mainline 2D Mario games, because they keep on tossing out that, like, it's Mario's first new 2D adventure in over a decade.
This is why there's a whole 40-minute video about this topic.
Fascinating video. We will mention it every Game Club.
Yes. The fourth episode of this Game Club will just be us watching the video and offering our commentary on it.
All right, so I think that's going to do it for 2D Mario Game Club Episode 2. Where are you guys at? I know I've been keeping a tally of ranking them as I play. World takes its spot at the top. Then I got 3, Mario Brothers 1, Mario Brothers 2, then Land 2, Land 1, and the Lost Levels. That is my order so far.
Matt, you better go first so I can think about this.
3, World... 1, Land 2, 2 USA, Lost Levels.
I think Matt's list is correct, but I would probably, yeah, I would probably swap. I put Land 2 above Land 1, but not by a lot. That would depend on the day of the week. And then I would put Lost Levels above 2 USA.
And I cannot emphasize enough how close 3 and World are.
Yeah, they're very, very close.
Yeah, that's, I mean, opposite for me. And I think like that has only gotten closer.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun to pepper in the new Super Mario Bros. Games into that.
Yeah.
And see if they don't all clutter up, or if they're actually spread out.
And I just jotted down what you guys said now. So,
oh God,
when you immediately forget
accountability.
It,
yeah, I hate this immediately.
It'll also be kind of interesting because I mean, right now, like, yeah, like I mean, Mario Brothers 3 and World both have the top two spots. Super Mario Brothers 1 is unanimously third, and then we start to get all over the place where Matt and I have Lost Levels last. You have 2 USA last. I have Land. Matt and I actually have Land 2 in the same spot. John, you have it one higher, but that's just because I like Mario Brothers 2 more than you guys. Yeah. Might be interesting to see how it all shakes out after we do 4 new Super Mario Brothers games, which are up next. We'll probably be doing them closer to the launch of Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
We also play new Super Luigi U.
I'd say that's optional.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
do we treat new Super Luigi U like we did with the two versions of Mario 2, where you can play that or new Super Mario Bros. U?
Yeah, let's do that. Or you can do let's both. Let's do that. Yeah.
New Super Luigi New Super Mario Bros. U USA.
Yeah. But yeah, looking forward to talking about some new Super Mario Brothers games. I'm honestly very curious to see where I come down on specifically Wii and 2.
It's been so long since I played through these that I'm actually pretty excited to. Yeah. I'll get less excited around like World 4 of the second game, but
I'm gonna have to actually pace myself through these instead of just marathoning them all doing the day of the day. Podcast.
Yeah. This has been a great game club for people who are lazy and don't do things early, and it's just like, all right, this is happening tomorrow. Time to play all the Mario games.
Yeah, we'll have to. I mean, we can start eyeballing. What's the next one that we want to slowly do? Darksiders is always on the table.
That'd be the weirdest, be our least watched game club series.
I should bust down the door and decide the next one.
I mean,
we might reject it.
We'll suggest stuff.
Yeah,
it's just more fun for us to decide because we know you won't say no.
Yep.
Like, you've if got you suggest me on something,
the hook.
I might just
Why
be like,
can't
nope.
I have you on the hook?
Well, do a game club on your own podcast and then get me to commit to things.
I mean, I am coming back to talk about another Kirby game on your podcast, so.
That's true.
What are we doing that, by the way?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I still haven't played it. Yeah. Yeah, I basically just need to, like, give me a couple days warning so I can sit down and play through Dreamland 3. Because it's been, when it came out on NSO, I think I played through it.
Joe just brought it up to me like a week ago, so we should probably get it done soon.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, no, it's not the best Kirby game. It's charming. It's got very good music. Visuals are cool. Unheralded comes to mind.
I'll have thoughts on it when I play it.
Yep. Email us your takes about 2D Mario games to connectivity@nintendoreport.com. We will be back next week. Maybe we'll be covering a Nintendo Direct. Who knows? We're in that September timeframe now. Till next week, we talk. It's a us.
Join us next time on the Pikmin Game Club.
Ooh.
Maybe. I mean, like,
and
I did
finally
that.
Give me a reason to finish Pikmin 4.
I played all of them in the month of July, pretty much. Like,
yeah, same.
I didn't go back to Hey Pikmin. That's the only one that I didn't break out.
I've still never played that one, but I probably will at some point.
We should do a weird 3DS spin-off game club. With Hey Pikmin and Federation Force,
Chibi
and Triforce Heroes, and
Chibi Robo.
Yeah. Yeah, all those, the 3DS games you didn't play.
Yep.
Game club.
Kirby Battle Royale game?
Sure.
Sounds like a pretty good idea, actually.
I would be 100% down for that.
I will need someone to play Triforce Heroes and Federation
well,
Force.
That would be the best part of doing it as a game club, is it would create a group of people that we could play them with.
Yeah, my only thing is, since my 3DS is banned from online, I would have to do it on Citra. So.
Well, that's fine. I would love to play those games on Citra with you, because then I could record gameplay and have that for our library. Not that we ever do that, Nintendo ninjas that are listening to this podcast.
Oh, I thought we cut off by now.
I don't know. Depends on how much John's paying attention when he edits this podcast.
Citrus, just what I buy at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Citrus. He just said citrus weird. Cut it.